Well, I think me and Chris could make a beautiful family, I think, in the kind of a little cottage. He could make me dinner, rub my feet.
Welcome back to the Four Nerds podcast, where we do role-playing games sometimes, but not today. We're actually discussing them. I know. Our actual play for now is on the shelf. I apologize. I wish we could continue, but there are plans. There are plans, with a capital P. Soon. Soon, TM. I'm going to go ahead and go right into introducing our cast for today. I'm going to go ahead and start with Gregory. How are you?
Pretty good. Nothing to complain about.
Well, that's good. We don't want you to complain, because then we'd, kick you out. So
yeah.
Keep that in mind. Don't ever complain. Okay. Next on the list is Chris.
Doing pretty good. Had a, toast weekend, but, hey, it's a new week.
Ah, yeah. It's just another Manic Monday, right?
Somebody got a case of the Mondays.
Okay. Well, next, last but not least, our regular cast. I'm just tongue-tied today. I apologize, audience, all 3.5 of you.
The irregular of our regular cast.
Yes, exactly. Devin, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing good.
Well, that's good. Everyone's kind of at a B+, state. I like that. We actually have a fifth wheel joining us. I don't know why you'd need a fifth wheel on a vehicle, but, that's what I'm going to call it. Our super secret special mystery guest for this week is going to provide us unique insight that none of the regular four nerds will be able to provide, having not the right configuration. Introducing Danny.
Hi, guys.
How are you?
I'm doing okay.
Well, that's good. So we're dragging our status down to about a B- average. That's good. I'm willing to play with it. Willing to roll with that. We're just going to go ahead and roll right into our discussion. Everyone can probably tell Danny is, in fact, a member of the female persuasion.
Wait, what?
I thought that he was a 14th century choir boy.
Oh, well... Sorry to lead you down the wrong idea. I have a very specific topic that I've kind of been itching to cover, but haven't been able to, because obviously none of us are women. I mean, unless somebody has something to share, which I hope you don't.
Holy in my mind.
Yeah, there you go. Chris. There you go. All right, but girl gaming, and that is essentially what I mean by that is. We don't see very many women in our hobby. I think for some pretty specific reasons.
Because we're all gross and nerdy that way.
Yeah,
that way.
I don't think being able to cite the critical hit chart from Warhammer Fantasy Roleplay 2nd Edition is a desirable reproductive.
You just gotta
trait.
Do it in the right voice, baby. That's all.
And at a result of 8+, you take off his head and a gout of it. But anyway.
I think if Saul said it, I'd be like, okay, whatever. He's got that gravelly voice. I'm okay with that. No, but see, I'm a girl gamer, so I wouldn't care. But I don't know about other ladies out there. They might be like,
We can't make any assumptions because we don't claim to speak for everyone unless they hold different opinions, in which case they're wrong. So
yes,
well, it works out.
Really,
I don't claim to speak for everyone outright.
I never use those words. I think being a girl gamer, you probably have some unique experiences and insight. Just based on being, I think it's unavoidable that based on gender or race, you probably get treated a little differently at the table, whether that's conscious or not.
I've seen both. I mean, I've seen, because I've played with I've played with people who are not white, too, which is, you know, amazing.
See, I don't think that's possible. There's only one. True. There's only
that's
one.
There's only one allowed. By the internet.
That's.
Yeah. I know. It's amazing. I've played with multiple, in one gaming session, where I was a GM, which is, like, amazing. There's a woman GMing a game. There was a Mexican and a black guy.
What?
I'm not kidding.
What's the punchline?
I know.
What? Like, did they walk into a bar and go, ouch? Like, what? I don't know. I don't know how this ends.
But actually, it was awesome, but anyway.
Oh, yeah. Well, I can imagine. I mean, that's like a total... That's an opportunity, I think, to have so many diverse people. Unfortunately, all of my gaming—I mean, I have gamed with women in the past, but you know, we've all been white as the driven snow, so we don't have any unique insights to offer on that.
I don't think that race has that much of a. It's gaming, man. Geeks are geeks. Just,
oh yeah, no, I agree. I definitely agree.
And that's the way it was. You know, they had a good time playing their fantasy races.
Well, yeah, exactly. I don't think I would sit down at the table with a Mexican and a black guy and be like, oh, I wonder how they're going to handle, you know, certain situations.
Just be really overtly racist. Be like, okay, so you walk into a tavern and the guy puts down a plate of beans in front of you, and
wow.
Oh, well, I totally forgot, and another one of them was Indian. Like, not Native American, but South Asian.
Yeah.
So are you a minority superhero team? I don't...
Yes. Well, this is the best
part.
There's no
Asian man, though.
No, there was an Asian kid that, like, came in and watched. I'm not kidding.
Guys. What you're saying is, if they were making like a brochure for this, you're the group that they would use for the pictures in the brochure to be,
yes.
You know, all inclusive.
Yes. So I'll tell you how this happened, because it's not something that would happen normally, I don't think. But
and we
started out
so promising, it just went right into the gutter.
Sorry, this will not ever happen again. No,
I don't think it's your presence that's causing this. I'm just saying.
But go ahead, story.
Yes,
I was a high school counselor in the Bay Area, mm-hmm. and the East Bay is pretty diverse.
Right.
It's like 25% black, white, Mexican, and Asian. So very diverse. And the kids at the school asked me to GM a game for them. So I did.
Awesome.
And it was really fun. And they were some of the best. These kids were like 15 to 18, and they were some of the best role players I've ever played with. They were amazing.
I think you're gonna end this with like the aristocrats or something like this.
No.
This can't be real. You're like, oh man, all these kids of diverse cultures. You know, they were high school males and they were so well behaved and so developed in their role playing. And it's just like, what? No.
First of all, let me say that I had to have a rule that they couldn't talk. Like, about explicit sex.
Right.
Because that kept coming up.
Gotcha.
And they couldn't talk about any sort of races except for fantasy races. Because after a while, it was like, the poor black kid, he's such a nice kid. It was just everybody dogpiled onto him like, oh, yeah, of course you rolled the one. It's because you're you and you're... Yeah, it was just bad.
Oh, jeez.
So, dude.
But they were friends. They were friends, and they, like, made jokes like this all the time.
Right.
But after a while, it was, like, obvious that it was getting to the poor guy. So,
yeah.
Well, there's always one guy that gets piled on. Like, either you always make the bad rolls, and, yeah,
he always made the bad rolls, plus, like, they got him because he was flat. So, it was, like...
That's rough. I mean, I definitely sympathize with a kid in any sort of situation, you know, regardless of color.
But they sounded pretty well behaved. I mean, we used to just freaking break up the furniture and make a bonfire like, every time.
Oh, man.
Getting lit and jumping off things.
Yeah, so, no kidding. like graffitiing the walls for no reason. Oh, it was a wild time.
Throwing chairs.
Throwing people in chairs. Throwing people off chairs.
But that group seemed pretty docile. So I thought, all right, good for you.
They were awesome. Yeah, they were pretty laid back. You know, they had their drama, but.
Well,
they were all guys. I think at one point somebody's girlfriend was playing for a while.
Uh-oh.
Really playing, because she was just there because she wanted to spend time with him.
Right.
And he wanted to play, you know. That's...
Yeah, the gamer girlfriend. So a comment theme.
So I've seen that, and I've also played with real other women gamers. So
right.
I've seen both sides.
From what I've heard, it seems like it's fairly common for the gamer girlfriend to turn into the gamer girl. And what I mean by that is, you know, you kind of have two different kinds of girls who, you know, come in and play RPGs like this. You know, you have people like Danny who, you know, genuinely like the game and want to come and play it. And then you have girls who are basically like, oh, these people are all nerds. They don't ever really talk to girls. I bet if I join in on the group, they'll all give me a ton of attention.
Well, aside from that sweeping sexist generalization, there's also the third type of, like Danny mentioned, you know, the gamer spouse who is, you know, basically there. She is not a gamer, but
to be supportive.
Yes, and you know that's a whole bag of.
Sometimes they're supportive, and sometimes they're like, "I hate this so much." So,
or they're 15 and they don't have cars yet, and they can't.
Well,
yeah.
And that's, see, I didn't play in high school, so I didn't have that. This me DMing as an adult for high schoolers was my first experience with high school gamers, and it was like,
man, that is a baptism by fire.
Yeah, it was
High school is when I went into the wardrobe, so to speak.
What?
Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe is what I'm...
I got the reference.
What?
That's not quite what it sounded like, though. Yeah.
It was kind of intended that way, to be honest.
Okay. Okay, as long as you knew that.
Chris, I mean, you're my friend, you're my brother. I'm not going to judge you. If you want to talk about something, let it get it off your chest. You can
when we're not recording. I don't want this on the
good
public
ratings.
Record.
You judge me all the time. You don't judge me out loud.
That's true for everyone. What I really wanted to sort of really talk about is your personal experiences at the table, because I know you mentioned to me that you have been on the receiving end of something we mentioned last week, which is a dude hitting on you at the table.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Well, I think that was what was happening. It was very hard to tell. I'll just tell you the story.
Please do.
You can judge. So I had, in the Bay Area, I had a really good group of gamers that were pretty diverse. They were all adults, you know, not diverse, like racially diverse, but like, I guess that too. But
from all walks of life.
Right. And I met my best friend through this gaming group, my best girlfriend through this gaming group, and, you know, she's a gamer too. But anyway, her husband was running a Gamma World game. He had just gotten a box, and I was like, yay, because he's a great GM, and so I was super excited. But she wasn't going to be playing, so I was going to be the only girl in the game. And that was cool. I knew one of the guys, it was just going to be four of us. And I knew the other guy that was going to be playing. He's like my bro. He's a cool dude. The third guy, I didn't have any clue. Never met him. I don't think anybody had ever met him. Or maybe they'd like met him.
So he's just some transient who walked into your game?
Right, exactly. I think they met him once. We had a meetup group. So we did have like some transient players. It was It was cool. Like,
the role playing hobo.
Right. Well, I walked into the house, which, you know, it's like my other house. It's like my home.
Yeah.
I walk in, everything's cool, and here's this okay-looking dude. He looks normal, you know. I sit down, and they're already working on their characters, so I start working on mine. And he rolls up a a speedster doppelganger. So he's going to be super fast and be able to split into two, and that's cool, right?
Right.
And I think I was rolling up a magnetic entropic turn. So entropic means that you turn people, you destroy things organically. Right. Anyway, so almost immediately after rolling up his little speedster doppelganger, he like turns to me, or like turns to my side of the room and says something like, "Great, this means that I can double team really fucking fast." And then he makes a fucking, like, you know, I don't know,
hand
like,
gesture?
Thrust motion in my direction. And at first I was like, well, I think he's talking to the GM who's sitting on the same side of the room as me, so.
Benefit of the doubt.
I just didn't want to, like, engage him. And then, a couple seconds later, he's like, "Oh, so you're a chick. That's awesome." And he, like...
I just now noticed.
Well, he didn't know if my character would be a chick.
Right.
So, I think I said something like, "Yeah, you shouldn't get near me because, you know, I can turn you necrotic or whatever." And he made some sort of... What did he say? He referred to my vagina as the black hole. And pointed.
Wow.
Whoa.
The
black hole.
So at that point, I was like, this guy's a fucking tool. Okay, well, no. But I kept playing the game with it. I mean, it was hilarious, yet I was like, well, yeah, and your dick's going to rot off, so that'll be fun. You shouldn't get anywhere near me.
Like, ever.
I keep it in character, because that's, like, the only way to engage people like that. So anyway, like...
Have you considered pepper spray?
No, what ended up happening is my GM, who is my buddy, he just fucked that guy's character over so bad in the game. It was... They were fighting, like, we were fighting electricity guys, and then kept zapping, like, he kept rolling critical hits against this guy, and the guy's penis kept getting electrocuted. And...
Wow.
So bad. He was, like, defending my honor, I guess. But at the end of the game, and I played like a champ. I mean, I was rolling 20s. I basically saved them over and over again. So, yeah, at the end of the game, it was like, well, I win. You have no penis anymore, and maybe you shouldn't make stupid comments about, you know, whole vaginas.
Oh, dude.
So, in the end, the guy, it's kind of sad, but the guy, like, was in the military for a long time, hadn't been around a lot of women, had never gamed with a girl before. And, like, now I'm okay with him. Like, we're cool. But I had to, like, give him shit about that for about a year before I felt okay with, like, hanging out with him, talking to him.
Like, being in a room with him.
Right. And, like, next time I saw him, he was super apologetic and, like, I just didn't know. I was awkward. And I was like,
well, I would say that's a very fortunate outcome then, because most times, like, you know, if that type of person would just be like fully, he would accelerate into full creeper cat piss man mode and just be like, fucking
yeah.
Licking the lips and
the
everything.
Story goes.
So, there were a few other times I gamed with him, and he would, like, after a while, my girlfriend, you know, my friend who's the spouse of the GM in the other game,
right,
was like, you know, you can't sit next to him anymore, because I've noticed that when you sit next to him, he, like, gets closer and closer to you. Arms around the back of his
mouth.
Oh, boy. He was like, I didn't even notice, because I'm GMing this fucking game, and I'm
focused.
And so she was like, yeah, you can't sit next to him anymore. We'll make sure you don't.
I guess she was, like, testing the boundaries. Like, how close can I get to her before I'm invading her personal space?
Well, you know, I think it comes down to as long as the group is having fun. I mean,
well, precisely. But I thought like maybe the guy was like, you know, saying a few things here and there, but he's all like, yeah, a vagina, black hole, wagga wagga, let me try to get close to you and smell your hair. And he's kind of, that's like borderline sexual harassment. If you were in like an office setting, you'd be like, yep, I'm filing a report.
I know. Well, there is that, but.
But.
Yeah.
He was just joking around.
You know.
Yeah, it's your fault for taking an offense to it.
Is dudes do other dudes all the time. They do the, you know, gay chicken thing all the fucking time. Mm-hmm. Or they talk about chicks all the time in games. And it's totally fine with me until he points at my fucking lap and, like, you know, and then it's personal.
Oh, class. He's got it.
Well, you know, I don't mind. I've heard so many dick jokes. You know, it goes with the territory. It's dick jokes all day with a gaming group. And that's fine.
Well, I mean, you also have to keep in mind, it sounds like you're playing with high school age people most of the time.
No, I'm not.
Whether physically or mentally?
They weren't. Oh, those weren't the high school kids?
No, it sounds like
the high school kids were well-adjusted individuals.
Okay, yeah, that changes it. I was gonna say, it's like, well, yeah, I mean, they're high school guys, you know, they're gonna make dick jokes all the time.
The 80s have lied to me.
I'm sorry.
No, this guy was 25. Jim is like 30. The other guy, who's like my bro, is 32. We're all, and we've talked about really weird things in other games too. With one of my players is 55 years old, like, or 56. He just retired.
Right on. Wow.
So, and he comes up with the most perverted stuff. I mean, we were talking about incest and...
Well, you know how old are people. They know things, right?
So are you gaming with Master Roshi? He's like, just
That's kind of what it sounds like, yeah.
Oh, dear me.
Anyway, I play with...
Trying to trade your Dragon Ball for a flashier panties? I mean,
yeah. Oh. It's just wrong.
Thank you.
I'll let you see my Dragon Balls.
Chris, it's okay.
Classy.
I have to.
I wonder which part is going to get edited out there, huh?
Nothing.
But to turn it to a more serious note. I think that's interesting because Devin and I, we played in a group that had a girl or two. You know, just hanging out. And from what I recall, and this may just because that girl was spoken for, but that sort of thing, like, I don't know, that group was very, I don't recall us ever talking about any sort of, like, weird, perverted, like, crap at all. Like, there wasn't even dick jokes, if I recall correctly. It was,
It's because she would have none of that. She would, I mean, if I made like a dick joke, I'm pretty sure she would look at me hard. She'd be like, I'd be like, I'd wither away. Like she was cool.
Erica had a laser stare.
Yes. She's cool. But man, like, you know, but, it just never really crossed my mind really. Cause I'm too busy, you know, cause most of the time it's new people. It was just, you know, I knew Phil, but everybody else was new to me. And so I was just, you know, kind of riding the wave of the whole social thing, and it never really came up. We were just too busy trying to role play.
Well, and I also think it's a credit to us as individuals not to toot our own horn. But...
We are awesome people. That's a fact.
That's great.
But I mean, I definitely like if I'm playing with somebody, my goal is not to make them feel, you know, uncomfortable and alienated as possible.
Well, I mean, we would make jokes, but I mean, it would be, you know, we would just make some really geeky reference to something. Or something like that, but I don't know. Plus, the people that were doing it, they were grad students. I mean, and I think the first game we played was Call of Cthulhu.
Yeah, it was Delta Green.
Yeah, Delta Green. So being like, oh, there's this unnamed darkness, you know, lurking in the in the wings of the story.
It was pretty serious
and then, by
most
the way, times. Yeah, and by the way. My penis joke, ha ha ha, like that.
Yeah, it doesn't really mesh.
Okay.
Yeah, the flow was not there.
You know, I think it's me. I think that I very tall dick joke. I think.
Oh crap. My internet's wigging out.
So my games tend to not be.
Oh, we lost crap. Jumping back in.
I was thinking. See, my games aren't always serious, so when in this game that I was playing that, you know, where people started out the night making jokes about bestiality.
okay.
Great. I had you guys have read Dune?
I have not. I have not read Dune. I think the only one who has here is.
Oh, I have read Dune.
Wrong.
I have.
Okay.
Exactly. What is wrong with him?
You know the Baron Harkonnen and his.
Yeah.
So fat.
Yeah.
Okay, so I had a character in my game that was a woman, and she was so hideously fat that she had to use magic to keep her afloat as
it
grew, and. And she was an evil necromancer as well. So, in the end, one of the guys just stopped playing in my game, and I had him end up making a terrible pact with her to marry her in order to rule a kingdom. But it was just, it was totally disgusting. Because I took a reference from the Sword in the Stone and Queen Morgause's castle, which is rancid butter with still got the hairs in it. That's what her castle was, and so it turned into this huge slew of butter jokes and what can you do with butter. So I think that it was bad. So
wow.
I bring it on myself. But I don't wanna There's a difference between creating that world and then having it flip back to you. You know what I mean?
I'm picturing Jabba with long hair and lipstick.
Yeah, but see, it with little tiny feet, and there's a big old pile of fat, and it's all held up by magic, and then it's just
it's really gross. She would in a little bit,
Dude,
the logistics of this are just beyond imagining.
Dude, a chick Harkonnen that's it's a necromancer, possibly a cannibal. That's horrifying. That's
scary. Yeah, that really is. Yeah.
It was supposed to be the scariest bad guy ever.
Oh, good job.
Oh my goodness. So to sort of bring this back into something that's not gonna make me gag and retch, do you find yourself? I mean, I think we covered the getting treated differently at the table, and I think that's sort of a tragic side effect. Do you feel like being a female gamer offers you a unique or different perspective, or do you just kind of approach it with we're all just, bags of meat and the same, whatever, and it's just all sort of the same?
No, I know for a fact that I tend to... I think you were talking about this a couple podcasts ago, Phil. I like to have romance in my game, and I'm not afraid of doing it, and it doesn't make me uncomfortable. And people who I game with, I offer them that option. And if they, sometimes it makes them marry the horrible necromancer.
Remind me never to take that option ever. Ever. I do not want to marry Jabba the Slut.
No, he left the game, so.
Okay. Punishment.
Bad can happen to you. No, but in the same game, one of my characters, or one of my players had a character who married an NPC and had kids with her.
See, that's really interesting. I don't think something like that would ever come up in one of my groups or, any sort of male-dominated gaming group, because that's just not...
Well, I think me and Chris could to make a beautiful family, I think. And, kind of a little cottage.
There's the beginning quote of that episode.
He could make me dinner, you know, rub my feet.
I think Chris and I could make a beautiful family. There we go. That's either the title or the quote. I don't know which yet.
I hope they have your eyes, Devin.
Oh.
And his appetite.
Anyway.
So, that's the only thing that I think I do any differently.
Okay, and do you think it's you know, I mean, when you've done that at the table, have you done it in any games you've ran?
Yeah.
Okay, do you think that option, you know, was, had you been a dude, do you think that option would have been easy for your players to take? You know, would they, for those that did, do you think that they, you know, were more comfortable with it based on you being a woman, or do you think that, you know, it was just, it was something that they were inclined to do in the first place?
You know, I don't know. I'd have to ask the guy who played. I mean, this player is pretty much up for anything, so, and he likes to do things that are a little weird, so.
Experimental!
Yeah, he is. But I think he was a little weirded out by it. Just a little bit. Like, he was like, fuck it, I'm just gonna go and do this because, you know. But I think it was, like, slightly weird for him. So if I was a guy, he might have said, you know what.
Okay. I mean, that's just something, you know, it's an interesting thought because I definitely think, you know, the type of themes and ideas that get presented and played out in a role-playing game is really going to be influenced by, you know, the makeup of the group at the table. I mean, that seems like an obvious statement in retrospect, but I don't think a lot of people really consider that, you know, the fundamental makeup of your group is going to sort of dictate, you know, how things shake down and what's going to be taboo at the table, what's going to be fair game, you know, stuff like that.
But I do think that doesn't necessarily have to do with gender. I think that there are some players
either.
Who are just up for anything. There are some players who are like, fuck no, I just want to swing my +3 ALS. You know, so it just depends on who you're playing with. And I think that I put this guy in a situation where he was uncomfortable and I did it on purpose. And because I like to do that too, obviously. So I like to stretch the boundaries of where people feel comfortable in my games.
This is actually valuable insight for me as someone running one of your games right now.
Yeah, well, you've already seen it.
That's true. I threw out something pretty fucking horrifying, and you're like, "Yep, we're gonna go with it."
I think that for me the point of role playing is to do stuff that is unpredictable, and I mean, I'm not gonna like derail your whole campaign, but yeah. You know, I want to try out things that people don't normally do, or things that people feel are a little weird, you know, because that's what's the point of. I mean, if I was gonna be just role playing my life, it's no fun, you know. So, right. I love putting people in uncomfortable positions.
Yeah, so it just kind of synergizes.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. What are my three compatriots, my three amigos at the table here? You all possess a penis. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, I think that a lot of
a single penis. Let me make it clear.
We each have 1/3 of a penis.
By your powers combined.
Exactly. Well, I could be really, you know, snooty and be like, well, most good odd entertainment happens when you're slightly uncomfortable. I mean, it's true though. I mean, good comedy happens whenever you're slightly uncomfortable. Like when there's a little bit of sort of
a little bit of tension,
but I mean, even, you know, like metagame tension from these, you know, the kind of, you know, role play you're doing adds to a lot of it. Because if you're just doing the normal thing, okay, I'm going to be the fighter and you're going to be the wizard, and we're going to go do this thing and we're going to go and, you know, that's fun and all, but I mean, why not mix it up a little bit? Do right. something you're not used to, because, like you said, it should be about doing things you normally can't do.
Right.
So I sort of think if you're used to playing the magical range support character or the kind of, you know, talky social stealth, you know, you need to switch it up, do something completely different, and just for
by marrying
for grins,
an ugly, you know, necromantic lady who can't move of her own volition.
Well, exactly.
As long as the group is having fun.
Yes. So yeah, I totally agree with. I mean, I would be a little weirded out.
What about you? Yeah. What about you personally?
I would be a little weirded out if, say, you turned to me and was all like, "Hey, this character that I'm playing is totally into your character, Devin, and she's going to be all up on your business." I'd be a little weirded out by it.
Oh yeah, I would be too.
Yeah. And.
Weirded out by your denial of our chemistry.
Denying your feelings, Devin.
Search your feelings. You know it to be true.
So, see, that's tabletop.
Stop saying the words in my head, Phil.
I have a little camera in the back of your brain.
So, Devin, that's tabletop, which is completely different than play-by-post. What about play-by-post?
Play-by-post, I'd be totally fine with it, and it's just because it's like you're writing a novel together in a way.
Right.
Maybe, sure, it's not, you know, edited together and paced like a novel, but I would be totally fine with that. And it's because there's a second degree of
separation
there, and it feels like we're just kind of collaborating on a story.
I'd even take that a little bit farther and say that voice chatting, I'd be a lot more likely to just go right off the deep end and dive straight into awkward.
No, I would probably agree with that, but. Because, you know, sitting in a room and having to look into your best friend's face and say, bare your soul or your character's soul about, like, oh, my family was killed. I've been so alone for the last 10 years, and you make me feel like I'm not alone anymore. That kind of stuff.
Fuck me hard.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa,
yeah.
Chris. It's, I mean, of course we would keep it very,
above the belt.
The carnal desires of the flesh being laid bare.
I'm trying to keep this, you know, intellectual here.
Yes.
But
continue.
But
failing.
Yeah. Well, it's because people are sticking pins in my intellectual balloon. But but no, it's just really weird, and it would totally degrade into gay chicken, even if we're trying to be, you know, serious about it. And
Especially if it, like, is all of us around a table, because we know each other.
Oh, yeah. It would be even more weird if it was just some dude. Like, we, you know, just some guy.
It probably wouldn't get to that point if it was a physical table with me, I would say.
Right. Well, we sort of delved into that last week. What about you, Greg? I think you've been awful quiet over there.
Well, there was one specific time where I was role-playing with a friend of mine over a text-based medium, you know, instant messaging programming, and I could tell that particular subject matter would possibly come up, and, you know, so I was forced to, you know, kind of stop and think about it, like, well, is this the kind of role-playing I want to do? And I decided, no, that would be too creepy.
Oh, that's perfect. That's perfectly valid. I mean,
yeah, it is. But I mean, I think it was because specifically it was like basically just me and him doing the game.
Right. That's Well, you know,
so then
that's
suddenly that becomes more intimate. I think
it turns into the crying game real fast.
Yeah.
Additionally, my in real life group, you know, tends to play in public, so any kind of sexual themes there are just like not even
Carl's Jr.
not even attempted.
That's a good point, because I mean, you know, the willingness of the group to, you know, delve into those subjects does depend on the environment.
Right.
Yeah.
Like you know, a public place versus a private home.
Right. Well, I didn't want to delve into this topic too much, as our, you know, because we'd be retreading our discussion from last week. But
it kind of deals with, you know, different genders of the gaming table, kind of.
Right. Well, I think, and do you have any sort of parting words to add on the topic of being a lady at the table, Danny? I think
There's one last thing that I don't know. This is just something I do, and I don't know if it's me or if it's or all girl gamers, but I tend to treat any other woman playing at the table really well. Like, I'm not saying that they get all the magic and shit, or, you know, they get the fucking everything, you know. But I could have killed one of my players off. Like, she just could not get her shit together. She was just a glass cannon.
Right.
And nobody was protecting her, and she just... But I didn't want to do that, because she was the only other girl playing, and it was just, you know, it's shitty to do that. But I will fuck over a guy playing character so fast. I don't know. I think it's just, I want there to be more girls in games, you know?
A little reverse sexism there.
It really is. So at my table, if you're a dude, you may not survive. But if you're a girl, you know,
now thinking about it, because of the like whole like social creativity thing in gaming, you would think that there would be more girls in the game, sort of. I mean, because girls start role playing long. I mean, you know, the whole dress up thing and all that when they're real little.
The thing is, though, most games are also male power fantasy type games.
Right.
That's true. I mean,
Baskin and Overload.
I mean, D&D is go and kill monsters, take their shit. That's what D&D is. But, and I guess that, I mean, it's true.
The best way I've heard that described is being a wandering murder hobo. That's what adventurers are at heart.
Yeah, well, I mean.
Murder for hire is a lucrative business.
Well, yeah. You know, and now thinking about it, you know, if you're talking about Vampire the Masquerade or something like that, there is a little more social, there's a whole lot more social dynamics to that game, for good or for ill, depending on the group.
But that brings a whole other bag of awkward.
Yeah.
Well, we're not going to get into the whole vampire thing, because
a retread of last week.
Yeah, yeah.
I think in the end it comes down to society is not really into encouraging girls to get out there and, like, use their imagination, you know? And it's definitely, if you're a girl and you're in high school and you're fucking reading Heinlein like I was, or, you know, it was so bad, you know? You just don't. Most girls don't put themselves through that kind of torture, you know?
Right.
So by the time the terrible high school juggernaut has happened, you're either like, fuck you, I don't care, I'm going to do what I want to do, or you've been, you know, molded into whatever society deems is the appropriate thing for a woman, which is, like, I guess, to be kind of dumb and listen to what guys say. I don't know. I'm not that person, so I don't know.
Right.
But it's not good for girls' creativity, you know.
Right. Well, and there's also the barrier to the hobby. I mean, you know, there are just so few ladies who are interested. And again, you know, most games being male dominated with specific themes, you know, you're not going to find, you know, unless these games sort of get built with women at sort of the ground level and offering their input and shaping the game, then most campaigns are just going to kind of be, you know, they're not going to have the general sort of things that, you know, women are going to look for, I think. And, you know, that's just a function of, you know, sort of general differences in perception and all that. Because they're of course outliers. I've heard of women who are, like, you know, can hack and slash with the best of them. I mean, you know, they're out there. But, you know, if
I feel like I have to point out, like, there's an even more obvious barrier to the hobby than that, and that was
smelly nerds.
Basically, yeah. Specifically, I vividly recall being about 13
or 14
years old, and I was in the hobby store, and an attractive girl walked in, and every eye on her.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was really fucking awkward all of a sudden, just like that. Like, the atmosphere just changed like that.
Yeah. And see, that's definitely something you're gonna run into. I mean, nerds are a socially isolated and unwashed,
mouth breathing stinkadillos.
Stinkadillos. Yep.
No, it happens to me. I walk into a gaming store and it's like the stench that rises up from the unwashed. All those little guys, the simple faces.
If you've ever been to a convention, you know that smell.
Yeah, the stink of gamer repulses me. So I'm right there with you. Like, yeah. I cannot stand going into the den of nerdity that is a game shop.
Well, we went to a game shop and there was a guy who's basically, you know, Gamer the Hut, sat in the corner.
Yep.
And he took up the entire corner. It was a tiny game shop. It was awesome. But if anybody walked in there that didn't smell like roses, you were right up in their armpit. It was great. I mean, you're just like right there. And
There were plenty of archetypal bad stupid nerds who dwelled in that shop that pretty much made it difficult for any well-adjusted normal people to you know get into there and you know be part of that community.
Yeah, and I mean there is a huge degree of nerd elitism, and I think that it's a very insular group, and I do sort of enjoy that. But at the same time, man. It's not. It's called Speed Stick. It's not expensive. Put it on.
Seriously.
Come on.
Iris Seriously. Out, guys. Iris out.
Yeah, So yeah, I mean that's probably a huge barrier. And so plus, guys get a little weird around the ladies sometimes. They just don't really know what to do. So maybe we put off a stay away field, you know, and kind of.
Well, yeah, I mean, not to delve into like dating psychology, but you know, women are drawn to confident guys, and how many confident you know gamer nerds in a gaming store do you come across?
Most of them are in drama class, and they're
beta insecure, and you know all that.
Yeah. So what we're saying, listeners, is that you're all insecure, smelly nerds.
Yeah. And, well, of course.
And you know, you should really just. You know, stop trying. Just give up.
No. Well, you know,
shower regularly.
You know, Greg, what you said. You know, if you can go to age 30, you'll get your wizard powers. So,
yeah.
So everyone should just try and do that. That's my advice. I think that was a good discussion. You know, it's good to have an outside perspective because, you know, you just, I mean, I'm not one to truck with, you know, oh, men are from Mars, women are from Venus, we're so different. But,
yeah, thanks marketing guy.
Yeah, but at the same time, you know, there are, you know, just by societal constraints and blah, 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 you know, different cultures and all that will have different perspectives. So it's good to kind of roll that in and into a discussion. Kind of closing that topic out. Greg had a pretty solid follow up to this. Not really related, but sort of a more of an advice based topic. Why don't you go ahead and lead us in?
Well, I know that generally whenever you're a DM trying to come up with new campaign ideas, oftentimes you can kind of come up with what's called the blank page syndrome, where you're just sitting there looking at an empty page and you can think of absolutely nothing.
The blinking line. Damn,
yeah,
that
exactly.
Blinking line.
And you could just sit there for hours and not type a single thing. And so, like, well, I guess I just wanted to discuss some ways that you guys, like, combat that. Like, I know specifically what I do is I do, like, a stream of consciousness. I just write literally everything that comes into my mind, no matter how unrelated it is, and eventually I'll get something that's, like, salvageable out of that, and I can build on that.
Hmm. That's an interesting way of going about it. I can't really think of any time where I've started a campaign and been like, time to make a Word document! Like, that's generally not how I roll. I'm, you know, as much as I like preparation at the table, and I will do preparation if I'm running a game at the table, but if it's a play-by-post, like, I'll have, like, a general idea, and then I will take my characters and of course, I sort of lay my groundwork from square one, you know, when I ask my characters certain questions. I always require my characters to, or my players to, submit answers to some arbitrary questions before they make a character sheet, just so I can steal whatever they write in there. And I'll just, you know, if I'm stumped for a direction, I'll just pull something off of there and dump it in and kind of see what happens. So I definitely fly by the seat of my pants when it comes to overall story design.
Nice.
I mean, one option that can work if you can do it well enough is just to take a story you the GM likes and has read and just steal it and follow the numbers off.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, yeah, you know, a lot of people, as long as that's not an anime.
Yeah, as long as it's, because people doing that with anime has been pretty overdone by now, and that's a pretty horribly cliche way to go about doing things.
Not only that.
That goes for making characters, too. Like, it's just like Anime X, but why?
He's just like Vash the Stampede, but his coat is blue instead of red.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
As double standard as may come off, people doing that with characters are lazy. Campaigns, it's acceptable.
Well, that's the advantage of being well read, is if you're the most well read person in your group, you can take something from a story you know nobody's ever read, and they would never know the difference.
Indeed. Well,
sometimes they even think you're brilliant for it.
You know what I do is I just drop a whole bunch of acid and go and watch something. But No. And by acid I mean I drink a cup of tea and go and look on Wikipedia.
So that's an interesting metaphor for dropping acid. I like it.
That's absolutely true about the stories, though. Is you can take, I mean, an element from, like, for instance, me and Phil were watching Claymore just for grins, last night or something, and it was night before last, but anyway, and I think the show's crap. But there's some really cool elements that could be, you know, taken out of there and repurposed and used for something, but not so much as, okay, you're in this world.
The key word there is repurposed, you know, not copy and paste.
Exactly. I mean, as much as I hate on Star Wars for doing it, I mean, he kind of did that with Dune. I mean, there's some stuff in Dune that he took out, repurposed it, and in a way reused some stuff. I'm not going to say whether or not it was great, but doing that sort of thing
became successful.
Yes, become successful. People like it, and that's all that really matters. Because if the group's having fun, yada yada yada. But but whenever.
But what do you do? What do you do?
Well, you know, there's been times when we. Way back, whenever we would just, all right, let's go game, and it would be, okay, get Devin all caffeined up, and then have him GM. And so I would go and be like, okay, I gotta think of something. And I would just, you know, stream of consciousness it, and just right there, make it up. And I would always come up with these moments where I would just stare blankly at you guys and not know where to go. It was like a loading screen.
So, you know, there is a trick for that. What you do is you always have a drink at the table, and whenever you hit that moment, you just stop and take a really long drink.
I swear, I've stared in the fucking mirror in the bathroom and been like, "What the fuck do I do now?" So much.
Yeah, that's basically what I would do. I go, "I gotta go to the bathroom, guys." My pre-gaming bathroom trip. I'd sit there and be like, "Okay, what do I do?" For like, I don't know, like. 5-10 minutes.
The unfortunate side effect is he would always be taking a deuce while doing this, so the bathroom would smell like something had died.
yeah, there's many stories of this, but but when it comes to actually working out a campaign or something, I mean, I usually start with the setting, and I do what Phil does, and I just think about, you know, what do they want to do? What's you know, if they want to be, you know, these kind of sneaky, jackassy kind of characters that just want to steal crap from people, then that's pretty easy. Just stick them in a situation where they want something and they can't have it, and allow them to work toward it. You know, either, you know, they want to rip off a casino, a space casino, or something. That's a lot of fun. and just let them go crazy. And but you know, like, this was in Star Wars, so I had a base world to work with. I had big bads that I could throw at them. I could say, okay, well, Moff Tarkin shows up and messes everything up for you guys. But when it comes to a cold, just, all right, we're going to do a, you know, a homebrew thing, I would say I have to just, you know, really reach deep down for all the stuff I've read and pull pieces together and kind of make a collage of themes and then sort of let that melt together over over a time period and then sort of stream of consciousness it later and let it kind of come out a little organically. But I don't know. I mean, it's just sort of hit or miss with me sometimes.
Yeah.
That's fair. What about you, Chris?
I mean, sometimes I do. I will go and crib a storyline. More often than not, I kind of like will take a genre I like and like pull a common story from it, or just even go scene by scene and say, okay, this is like, you know, the guys think of the bad guys aren't really the bad guys, or
yeah.
Well, yeah, I think a lot of success can be taken from just taking a general, you know, story skeleton and then, you know, maybe subverting it in some way, you know,
inverting it.
Definitely.
I mean, or, you know, inverting it, because it'd be cool to get a story that everybody knows and basically make it where the bad guys are the good guys and make those guys your player characters.
Right.
You know?
Right. Pardon me.
Expanding Empire, where the Empire is the good guys.
Precisely.
Oh.
Yeah.
What a twist. The reason I asked you in specific, Chris, is because I know there have been a couple times games in the past where you've done the Word document and you've like you'll get a weird lightning bolt of inspiration and all of a sudden just, you know, things will just flow and you'll wake up, you know, 2 hours later with like 10 pages of just campaign notes.
Well, he has read a lot more sci-fi than anybody on the planet should ever read.
That's true. That is true.
I wouldn't say that.
You sir, are... it's like you're Johnny Number 5 in Short Circuit, and you're just going through all the sci-fi you can get, just buzzing through it.
Yeah, Chris doesn't read books. He opens his mouth and eats them. Like, that's...
like, they're
gone so fast.
You know, he has one of those special Matrix chairs, and he just, you know, plugs into it and downloads the books one at a time directly into his brain.
I kind of feel bad because now I haven't been reading a lot recently.
It's okay. You have a backlog, man. It's okay. You have
more than caught up.
I mean, you could not read a book for 5 years and still be outpacing most Americans in total books read in a lifetime.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
That's true. That is absolutely true. But yeah, I mean, I can think of specific examples, like I said, where you've gotten an idea and sort of just ran from it. Mm-hmm. Of course, those games have all petered out for various
reasons.
It's not related, but
doing this podcast is making me want to run a game again, but I got to make myself sit down and plan something, decide what I want to do. And then I got to find a medium and a place to run it from.
Oh,
this podcast with a let's play will, I'm sure, will provide many opportunities.
These first world problems you have, they're so tragic.
I know. It's like, but where do I go for bagels?
So, what about you, Danny?
I've never not had a campaign start in my head. And, I know. I read a lot, too. You probably can already tell I read a lot, and I don't care where I get ideas from. It can be fantasy or sci-fi, whatever, or real world. Actually, my campaign that I'm running, Play by Post, has elements of, like, Saudi political machinations.
Nice.
don't ask me why, but I like to bring it from where
that, you're guaranteed time. Nobody in your game is going to catch on that, so that's good.
Yeah.
Now they know, because they'll probably listen to this, so...
Nobody
listens to this podcast.
Yeah, they're not amongst the 3.5, don't worry.
Yeah, that's true. But someone said, well, you know, I want to think about what my character or what my players want. I never think about what my players want.
Yes.
If they want to play my game, they're going to you know, play my game in my setting. And if not,
fuck them.
Right. At least in the beginning. Later on, when they actually develop a character, I will be like, well, whatever. You know, if you want to go do this, that's cool. I'll let you. But in the beginning, it's my setting, and if they want to play, they want to play. If they don't want to play, well, then I'll find somebody else who wants to play. So...
See, that's interesting. I think that makes you probably the only setting, the only story-centric person here. Because I think everyone generally, all of our styles pretty much, we're reactive game masters, generally.
I am too, but my setting is my setting. And I very rarely do a setting that has anything to do with something else, you know?
Right.
Like the one game that I ran all the way through, the one game with the weird butter and all that.
the weird butter.
That actually was, I used D&D 4E, but it was nothing like D&D 4E or any of those. It wasn't really fantasy. It was actually alternate history. So.
Uh-oh, Chris.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh, Chris.
You just said the magic word of the day, like Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Yeah!
You just said the word of the day! like,
dude, there are bike horns and noisemakers going off in Chris's head right now, because
yes,
that's really? His favorite thing ever.
This is a match made in heaven. I'm a history PhD student, so...
Uh-oh, Chris.
Oh, boy.
Is this the love that I'm feeling?
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Yeah, no, this is a huge, huge alt-history buff. Like, oh, my goodness.
What if,
like, Napoleon rode dinosaurs and had AK-47s?
Hey, it was dragons. It wasn't Napoleon rode dragons.
I'm so down with that. I'm fine. That's the kind of weirdness that I like, you know?
Awesome.
But anyway,
I won't say what got me into reading sci-fi, but it was one of the first like subgenres of it that I discovered, that I started getting into on my own.
Yeah,
that's okay. He's just so used to us ridiculing him for it that you know.
I give shit right back. I don't care.
I don't care.
I revel in it.
Anyway, please continue.
So anyway, my setting is whatever I want it to be. But this is what happens to me, though. I start out with this cool setting, but I don't really build a story behind it. So I have, like, a vague idea, maybe.
Right.
And if I, like, you know, a couple sessions, or if it's play by post, like a couple months in, I don't really have a story, or I don't like the story, I don't remember the story. And I have to, like, start over but still use the same setting. So that's where I get the blank page thing. And I do my best thinking in the shower, so I sit in the shower and, like, think about whatever I'm going to do. Yeah, I know. I knew that being a girl in the shower would
get
a giggle.
Man, you're striking all sorts of common threads between individual nerds of this podcast. Like, Devin spends 3 years in shower sometimes.
I just think, yeah.
Okay,
like,
so until the water goes cold, or I figure out what I'm going to do. Yeah. So I think it lets me relax and not think, you know, my mind is still wandering. So it's like stream of consciousness, I guess.
Yep.
Well, everyone has those like, zones in their life where they go to just... Yeah. You know, let their mind float, man. You know,
my hyperbolic time chamber. I go in there and think about stories I'll never write.
Yeah, and then he trains up and becomes a Super Saiyan. It's really awkward. And...
yeah.
Eat all your Zenzu beans. And give you none.
I mean,
yeah.
I seem to, you know, use driving in a similar fashion, maybe.
Okay. So, yeah, you all have your zones, and you just got to get there and figure out what you're going to do next.
I am just so fucking overloaded with sensory input all the time. I have no chance to ever organize my thoughts. I am just a constant static screen of impulse and drive and id. And
nice.
Good for you, Phil.
Great.
Yep. So.
I'm very happy for you.
Fuck you! But, well, I, you know, to kind of wrap that up, I think, see, that's kind of, that's interesting. Because, like, what I meant when I said story-centric is that, you know, you have your story. When you run a game, you know, you have your setting, you have your story, however, you know, ill-defined it may be. Whereas, I think... I would be knowing that my nerds as well as I do, every one of us is more of when we start a game, it's like, I want to play Star Wars. And then we say, okay, we're doing Star Wars. It's going to be set here and make your characters. And then we look at the characters and go, huh, what the fuck am I going to do with these people?
And that's how you ended up with the Wookiee and the Gungan assassins, pretty much.
That was pretty awesome. Yeah, we had...
I wish that game had kept going, but...
There's stories I would like to do, but the thing is, I know that it's just me, you know, wanting to go off and make my grand masterpiece and make people play through it. And I've done that once before where I had a plotted out story, and, they did it.
Then the dirty players are selling your masterpiece.
That's right.
You've made a Sistine Chapel, and they're smearing poo on the ceilings.
You can't get that in love with your settings, though. Like you.
No,
you,
I agree.
You know, you can't.
You have to kill your darlings, or you're gonna look like an asshole.
Yeah. God, they ran my campaign off the rails so many times. It was just like whatever. At the end, it was like whatever.
You were beaten into submission by their sheer force of will.
That happens a lot to me. I don't know what it is, but I just can't.
Yeah,
you're just a big old softy.
I am.
The worst example I ever had was like first session. Like I had them going up like against like a Dracolich. You know, they were starting out at like a higher level, okay. And I had made the Dracolich's phylactery something non-physical as like a challenge for how to destroy it. Right, and so like one of my players immediately. Not even knowing what it is, decides, you know what, I'm going to eat it.
Oh my god!
Amazing.
Yeah, that was the most, like, horrible train wreck I ever encountered. I was like, oh my god, what even happened?
Some Dragonheart, like, where, like, if he dies and he feels it. And
that's basically what I wound up doing, yeah.
That's kind of cool, but I'm not sure how that would work in a campaign.
So he himself wound up being... the new phylactery, and it radically altered the direction of the campaign from that point onwards.
That's why you don't eat things you find in dungeons.
I know, right?
I probably would have gone a whole nother direction and had like a new Dracula burst out of his stomach alien style. So.
Yes.
Like, wow.
Punish him for being such a douchebag.
It takes half his organs and makes like a crazy organ dragon that pops out of his chest, and now he's got no legs.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Are legs organs?
That's fucking creepy.
Yeah, it is pretty creepy. But,
again, I'm learning valuable, valuable things.
Yes, I'm... Yeah,
yeah, because of that, that particular player decided he was gonna change his character a little bit and basically invest a whole bunch of levels into, like, draconic character classes and whatnot, and really embraced that. And so I think by the end of it, he was practically like a half dragon character.
See, there you go.
See, Devin, now I'm picturing an organ dragon, so thank you.
there you go, Chris.
The only thing I think of when you say organ dragon is a flying piano.
Organ dragon. That was my.
Well, I just think of a flying.
Was that your Flock of Seagulls cover band in high school?
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah, organ dragon. I remember them.
I just think of like a giant penis dragon.
Yeah, I was playing with a giant penis
dude.
Wow. Well, if it was made by H.R. Giger, yeah, totally. Alien style? Oh yeah. There's penises everywhere.
It flies by flapping the testicles.
Oh Lord.
Dick jokes.
But I'm
ground.
But
I love them so.
Boy, yeah, wow, this is the most dick jokes we've had on the podcast thus far. We're definitely hitting a new low. So to kind of mosey on to our final topic of the evening, something I think anyone can really benefit from, and I'm sure you've all been in a position at one point. Then again, maybe you haven't. You've been in a group that is really focused on hack and slash, you know, loot and kill, pillage the town, you know, kill the bad guy, save the princess sort of play. You know, it's not that there's anything wrong with that. Let me preface this with the, you know, as long as the group is having fun disclaimer. But I think as tastes mature as a gamer, you know, you generally look for at least another layer underneath that, if not multiple layers. And I sort of wanted to get your guys' thoughts on how to encourage a transition in a gaming group from, you know, a hack and slash gaming group to more role-playing, narrative-oriented gaming.
Well, I'm going through that right now, actually.
Sticking carrot, my friend. Sticking carrot.
Yeah,
that's why.
My in real life group just last month was, you know, just refused to play anything other than Dungeons and Dragons 3.5. And, you know, while
that
wasn't bad.
That's my own personal hell, by the way.
Yeah, well, it's like, I don't think it's necessarily bad, but it was not conductive to actual role playing. It was conductive to
just so many skill points.
I don't mean to cut you off, but I do. But
I'm about to finish.
Let me go on the record and say, under no circumstances is it acceptable to play nothing but D&D 3.5. Continue.
Yeah. I was just going to say, you know, it's not conductive to role-playing. It's more conductive to, you know, the hack-and-slash-style gameplay, you know. And this group in particular just generally enjoyed kind of, like, exploring the limits of the system, as they put it, which is, you know, min-maxing.
Yeah, that's what min-maxers say. Or, you know, rules monkeys.
Character optimization was another word, one they like to throw around. But I think finally they just got sick of dying constantly, and they kind of got burned out on it. And now I've finally been able to kind of, like, step in and introduce the Dresden Files RPG on them.
Whoop, whoop.
And, you know, they're still going right into the deep end. Yeah, they're still kind of going more towards a combat focus rather than a story focus. But I'm kind of baiting them into the story right now with lovable characters from real life like Neil Patrick Harris and Jackie Chan as, you know, central plot characters.
Two great tastes that taste great together.
Exactly. I think I'm going to throw Bill Murray into the mix this week.
Why not? Bill Murray is a boss.
He is. He's basically just going to troll the party.
See, there you go. There you go.
It's going to be good times all around, I think.
I would agree with that.
I mean, one way to encourage, you know, encourage role playing is just rewarding the players for it, or playing a system where it gives them some narrative control, or encourages them to make it. I mean, Exalted is one example I can think of, though I wouldn't recommend that for someone going to go straight from hack and slash to role playing.
Yeah, because that's a very mechanically dense system. And...
Right, but I mean, it encourages players to say more than just I attack the goblins.
Yes,
yeah.
That's true.
I go there. Yeah. Let's do that.
My character does that. So what do you guys think?
Well, I mean, another way to encourage is to find what the players like want to role play. Like if you got a big superhero nerd, you can tell he may not care so much about 3.5, but I mean, you get him in his masterminds, and he's happier than a clam in a candy store. And I don't know where that analogy came from.
Clam in a candy store. Gotcha.
I'm a sick mind, Chris. A sick mind. I don't know. Maybe, like Danny would agree, but maybe just throwing out a bunch of really awesome story up front in like a little short, you know, like primer pamphlet, and get them really into the story, and maybe they'd be in, you know, they might be more into that sort of thing. If you build a world that's really interesting, they may want to play around with it more than just, okay, let me kick things over, you know, and not saying that all hack and slash games are inherently weak
on background, but I don't know. I mean, if you can turn some really nice pros out, you know, maybe, like I said, they'll get into it more.
Hmm.
It just depends on your player too. I mean, the problem is, Greg, you've got like an interesting group who doesn't like to role play much, and sometimes there's not a lot you can do. Like sometimes it's just like, well, okay, I know that you love to beat people with a giant stick, so you're going to be doing that for a lot of the game. But and sometimes you just have to like pull them out and say, look, you know, I know that you want to beat people, and that's okay. You're going to get to beat people, but you know, let's talk about your character. Sometimes you just got to have them talk about their character. Because if they don't have any idea of who their character is or what they're doing, they're not going to be able to roleplay.
Yeah, and I think with my group, like, just the character creation process of the Dresden Files, which, like, requires you to do that. I think it was, like, the first time for a lot of them that they put, like, like that much thought into a character.
Yeah, I think you can definitely do worse than going to Fate for role-playing cues kind of baked into the system.
Yeah.
I mean, as my personal advice is, you know, find better players. But I guess maybe that's not an option for everyone. You know, we're kind of stuck with who we end up playing with a lot of the time. But yeah, I think, you know, selling your group on a more role-playing oriented system, and, you know, if you want to get them to kind of try different things, you know, couch it in terms of, oh, we're going to only play like two or three sessions of this, you know, we're going to start it and I'm going to have it wrapped up in a couple weeks, and we can go, and if you don't like it, you know, we can go back to what we were doing, you know, no harm, no foul kind of thing.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I did, was I told them, yeah, just, you know, name any kind of a genre or something, you know, or I can make suggestions, and, you know, I know of a system like that, and we'll play it for, like, one or two sessions, see if you like it, you know, give it a trial run. And then, what winds up happening is that the character creation process and learning the system takes so long that by the time they're playing the first or second session, they're already invested in it.
That's smart. You just, you know, you slip it into them without them knowing, and...
Whoa.
What? I don't know what you're thinking. I'm just talking about, you know, stealth trying different things.
What different things, air quotes.
Different positions, if you will.
Chris, again, always one step too far.
we can never, never stay classy.
Nope. One step ahead of you, Devin.
We can't have. Yeah, you're right. If you didn't say it, I would.
Yeah, he's just mad that he beat him to it.
Yeah, I so jelly.
And you know what? If Devin hadn't said it after Chris hadn't said it, I would have said it.
Yeah.
You know, but, it's a thing that's going to get said inevitably.
But yeah, I mean, a lot of geeks are kind of set in their ways sometimes when it comes to
Oh, are they?
Like, you don't say.
Like wizards, we like to be on our little geek towers and do what we've done for the last 10 years, and because that's what we know, that's why Star Trek people are like, I just like Star Trek sometimes, or they just like Star Wars. Or
you got to have that comfort zone, man.
Yeah, because it's my team, and my team's better than all the other teams, and the other teams can go fuck off. And so you have to kind of... If people are like, no, I'm a real role player, I just play 3.5, and that's it, or what? And like, I'm not saying that's what your group is doing, but some people are like that.
That's exactly what they're doing.
Oh, well, then, yeah, fuck those people. But
yeah, exactly.
But they need to understand that the best part about being a geek, being geeky, and, you know, being able to do is just being able to go and do whatever you want and be, you know, interested in whatever you want. And trying new things, and I don't know. It's a bit like getting a kid to eat his vegetables, because they sound like petulant children. I mean, they sound like petulant children to me.
Yeah, but
Oh, that's why we should all get new children.
Yep.
What? What?
No, players who focus on 3.5 exclusively are petrol.
Yeah.
I'm going to get people on the thread PMing me like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
And now I can never share this podcast with them.
How close are like I don't know. It's like, for one, when you start a podcast, people are gonna hate you anyway for it. It doesn't matter what you're saying. So
I can still share it with them. Then they're not gonna like lynch me.
I would encourage you to, because I think at the end of the day we are joking despite anything.
Oh well, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, I do think your players are bad people, but not for that reason.
I hate the sinner, not the sinner.
Well, I mean, I think they all should be, burned and left to, rotten hell forever. But I'm not. I'm just saying.
Nope, never going to show them this podcast now.
No, we don't show people podcasts.
Because we're stuck at the 3.5 viewers.
There's no visual element to podcast, Greg.
Okay, I'm not going to show them the website where the podcast is located.
In all seriousness, nice recovery.
We are just trying to get people, our nerdly people, to come together and realize that these factions within role playing aren't really real. It's just you need to, because we used to hate on White Wolf because the other team. We hate on some parts of White Wolf, but not just because it's White Wolf. I mean,
and then everybody in my real life group hates on 4th edition because that's their other team.
Yeah, like 3.5 is better.
No,
I get to play with both teams.
That's perfect example.
I play with you guys, you're the 4th edition team. I play with my real group, they're in the 3.5, and you guys fight each other. It's
great. We're not the 4th edition team, though.
Oh. Because
you guys don't like any of D&D.
I hate everything. That's how I know I'm hip.
Oh, okay.
Oh, brilliant. Brilliant.
No, what it is
the games that I like, you would never heard of.
You wouldn't have heard of it.
Hipster nerds. That's a new one.
Oh, yes.
That's not a new one.
Yeah, they're not new. Trust me on that.
Okay.
But I mean, this podcast, at least for my part of the podcast, what I we like to do is get people to realize that, like I said, there's a lot more out there to go check it out. And we've never lived in a time like this before where we could just go and get things that you want at will. So why not try everything?
Yeah.
And
that's a very zen way to close it out. I like that.
I agree with Devin. I mean, role-playing games are like food. Try it once. If you hate it, then you know you hate it. But don't just say, I don't like that.
Yeah, well, I don't even think that's right. I think it depends on the chef. I'm gonna extend your
mind. Hey, yeah, that's right.
Depends on the chef who's.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think a very large part of your role playing experience is going to depend on the DM and the atmosphere of the place you're playing with and the people you're playing with.
Well, I definitely encourage many listeners, and I would be delighted if your group ended up listening to us, because I think, and I don't want to sound haughty, but I think they could learn a lot and they could appreciate a lot. Because thank you. That's so I didn't have to make that noise.
I shine my monocle on my double rusted suit.
Yeah, exactly. My lapel. Again, trying everything is probably the best thing you can do. And give it the old college try. Give it the fair shake that it deserves. I mean, we hated on White Wolf for years and years, and then I picked up Vampire and we gave it a spin, and we were just like, it's not going to line up with our group's tastes. So
part of it is I wasn't good at at quote cooking Vampire. I couldn't. I mean, some people are good at cooking. I mean, I made a crappy Asian glop version of that's a really inside, I tried to do the vampire thing. I ended up having like a vampire Doc Holliday set, and like it was really stupid.
It was.
And it was dumb, and it's because I don't know the lore very well. I don't do the whole vampire thing. I've only seen one like maybe half of that Anne Rice movie with Brad Pitt. And I mean, I don't know the whole vampire thing. I don't. And so I wasn't good at it. But, you know, I wouldn't say just because of that it's bad.
It's not to our taste.
No, no. Yeah. And it's and like I said, I'm not good at making that sort of stuff. So
meanwhile, you know, another White Wolf property, Exalted, has a lot of things I like in it.
Yeah, and a lot of things that are unfortunately convoluted and stuff. But that's just, you know,
you take the part of the system you like and you kind of you downplay or ignore the parts of the setting that you don't.
Yeah, if you want to be elitist and be like, oh, well, I'm just be like, I'm a geek and I try everything. And that makes you better than everybody else. If you really want to be like, I'm better than everybody else, just take the high road and get.
Yeah, be a hipster. Seriously, be a hipster.
It's like you can see my soul, Devin.
Get the advantages of being uppity and haughty about stuff and actually go out and be the better man.
The other advantage of towers is that you can look down on everybody else.
All of the peasants.
Look at them.
I think that was a pretty solid final discussion. I really appreciate all you guys taking the time to come out here to our studio and record with us.
Travel through the wild ways studio. Of the internet.
Yeah, you know it. You know the journey. You know was longer for some than others. And I would appreciate it if you guys checked out our website. It is fournerds.podomatic.com. We're going to be getting some more bandwidth soon. It's just a question of time. So, on behalf of my nerds, I will go ahead and let Greg sign us off for this week.
Oh, great. You can put me on the spot. All right.
Yep.
See you guys later.
All content is copyrighted 2011 to the Four Nerds. Show music is provided by freemusicarchive.org.